God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I'm going to teach about all three of them tonight. God, before he ever done anything, he made plans. And you can read a bunch of those plans in the first three chapters of Genesis. What he did and what he was going to do. You see, some people preach Christ that he's just love. But there's something I'm going to talk about tonight that's not very rarely talked about. And I'll get to that after a bit. In Genesis, you'll read that Adam was 130 years old. He got a son named Seth. Seth lived 912 years. You add them together, you've got 1,042 years. The earth is older than we think sometimes. If you go through that first chapter and some of the rest of them, you'll find an awful lot of names that's lived over 900 years. That's a long time. But I've said all that to make a point. My point is this. Regardless of how old somebody is, he has a responsibility. Now, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to be reading 5 through 8. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. It grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts and creeping things and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I made them. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Look down at verse 12. God looked upon the face of the earth, and it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. When you look at the religious world out here now, what do you see? Basically, what he just described. If it wasn't, I believe, for the Church of Christ and the honorable people that is in it, that God would send a closure time. God is a man after our own heart, after our intellect. He wants us to do something, whether it's right or wrong. But the best thing you can do is be a friend with God and walk with him as Noah walked and please God. You see, Noah was given a job to do. He was to build an ark. And he was given that because he was righteous. And it took him a number of years to build that. I've heard, and somebody may know exactly, 120 years. Before God had the animals come in and get into the ark, and the creeping things and the birds that he wanted to keep. Because as I read through Genesis there in the 6th chapter and 7th, there was a great flood to come. And if you want to turn over to Genesis 7 and read verse 20, it'll tell you more about that. I'm only going to refer to it. The flood raged above the hills and over the mountaintops to the highest one was covered with water. The ark raised up and floated by God's doing, I'm saying, on top of the water. As far as I can tell, it's well over a year that the flood was up on the earth. I'm not saying that as a fact. I don't know for sure. With what I read, I draw that conclusion. God said to Noah and the 8 souls that went with him, that was his wife, their 3 sons, and their 3 daughter-in-laws, 8 souls. If Noah had not been perfect in the sight of the Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ, we wouldn't be here. Because that flood killed every living thing that was on the earth that breathed through the nostrils, except what was on the ark. That ought to make the hair kind of crinkle up on the back of your neck and say, boy, what if we'd have been there? What would we have been? You know, he preached for that 120 years or so. How many obeyed? From them, none. From outside of Noah's family, none. Now, what's that telling you and me? When God speaks, whatever the law is, that you do. Nothing more and nothing less. Because it is God who speaks. He said to Noah, after they come out of the ark, I'll no longer destroy the world with water, but fire next time. You know what he did? You see it in the clouds, the rainbow, as a sign that he would no longer destroy the earth with water. That doesn't mean we're not going to have floods, tsunamis, or whatever have you. They are normal things to come along. This is abnormal. All the people that was out there except Noah and his sons and his wife and their daughters was the only ones that realized that there is a drastic thing going to happen on this earth. God shut the doors on the ark and the windows. So it wasn't up to man. He sent the animals, the clean animals, 2 by 2. They went aboard. So did the creeping things. Look at the lions. and tires and what have you, bearings. They could chew you up in a little bit, but not when God's aboard. It's like Daniel, when he was cast into the lion's den, he used them for a pillow. That's what I've been told. Because they were under God's control. There's three men mentioned in the Old Testament that wouldn't bend, they wouldn't budge, and they certainly didn't burn. That tells us a lot about God. There's a lot more that we can learn by reading through the Old Testament. In the days of Noah, Moses, he wrote five books. It tells us a lot about God. But you see, that happened after all of these things had happened. Come after the flood. When you read through the rest of the books, even those five books, you learn an awful lot about God. How merciful he is. Look at his chosen people. Go off and see him. And there'd be a bunch of them starting to repent, wanting to come back to God because it was better. He'd forgive them. He'd done that down until the time that he had set to bring in his Messiah. And he brought him in, born of a virgin. But it was God's son. He walked this earth for you and me. Some 33 years. Not much is wrote about him, about his childhood. But at 12 years old, he said, I must be about my father's business. He was answering and questioning the authorities of that time in the religious world. He lived on, and he willingly took the beating for you and me that they gave him. You see, that was Roman soldiers. They weren't bound by the stripes, 39 stripes. They beat him terribly. When they tried to force him to carry his cross, he was so weak he couldn't carry it. They got a man to carry it for him. They laid him down upon the cross. They nailed his hands and feet and tied him. He died the most terrible death you can think of. Strangled in his own saliva because he could not swallow it. That's a terrible death. Now let's speed on a little bit further. in Romans chapter 11. You'll read this, it's on the board. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of them that fell severity. But toward thee, if thou continue in my righteous goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. What is the goodness of God? What is the goodness of Christ? It's the gospel. The power unto salvation. That's the authority. The power is the authority. Why are we seeing so many people running the wrong direction? It's because they love doing what they're doing. I heard three preachers, and one of them told me, he said we was out to Billy Graham out west when he was preaching. And they went to him and said, why don't you just change a little bit and just teach the truth? He said, I'm going to tell you, if I do that, I'll be broke. Because I won't get the money. So what was he after? Money. What causes filth? The love of money, and that's what he had. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. It says to you and me, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own self? How that Christ Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobate. You want to know how to do that? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. It'll be on the board there in a minute. And verse 17. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That's as much as a word live within you, Christ lives within you. What's going to keep you from sin? The Word of God. The severity that you just saw back there in Genesis chapter 6 and 7. What will it be like when this world is on fire? Where are you going to run to? Because that's the end of time. We're living in the last days. And when this time is over with, you're going to be in one of two places. It's your and my decision. In Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 1. I meant to back up one, Ron. Can you back it up? I want to go to 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in mighty and his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. How long is eternity? It never ends. If you haven't thought about it, it never ends. Eternity keeps going. The other place you can go to is to be with God in Christ throughout that eternity. The decision rests upon you and me. Christ paid an awful price for our salvation. But he willingly did that. He willingly laid down his body so the Father could forgive flesh, sin in the flesh. Excuse me, I'm getting tongue-tied. He shed his blood, and life is in the blood. That's what the Bible teaches for you and me and the rest of the world. You see, all the people in the world belongs to God. There's none that he does not want to be saved. Not a one. But it's man's choice. I've heard Ron say it. I've heard Randy say it when he was teaching Daniel. It's our choice. Choose rightly. He, God, brought his son that built the world, Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry time and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophet. Verse 2 says that the Son created the world. The world that he is ruling over from heaven right now. He set up his kingdom. And it's here. One of them is right here. And if you're obeying God, you're one of them. Examine yourself to see if you be in Christ Jesus. Because if you're outside, there's no hope for you. There's no life that's worth living after this life is over. That would be a life in torment throughout eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, I adjure you to examine yourself daily to see that you remain in Christ, because you can fall away. And it's easily done. You just quit believing in God. I've seen men leave here, and we had to disfellowship them. One left on his own accord. Another left because we disfellowshipped him because he was teaching false doctrine. But those people had lost their love for Christ. If you love Christ, you know what he said to you? Keep my commandments. For in them you shall find rest in your soul. God be merciful unto us. When you send your son down the next time, there's another part I want to talk about. You know, I said something about the light that God was the heaven and the outer part was darkness. You know what I based that upon? On Christ. Where he come down to a man that was taking Christians and binding them, and they were being killed. The light of him was so bright that the man had scales on his eyes. Now you understand why Saul of Tarsus became a Christian. And what a Christian he was. God chose him to be an apostle. And he wrote most of the 27 books of the New Testament for you and me. Because in them, we find our salvation. Through obedience. If you're not obeying God, you of all people are most miserable. Because God and his Lord Jesus Christ, whom he has made Lord of Lords and King of Kings, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The watery baptism is ready. It's up to you. You choose. Will you serve God the rest of the days of your life faithfully? Then it wouldn't do to you no good to go up and be baptized if that's not your desire. God said, you must hear the word. You must believe the word. You must believe that I am Christ. You must repent of your sins. And you must be baptized into not think I did, because that's where you got to examine yourself, because he examined you by Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The very last part of that. The word is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. So God knows what you're obeying. Obey him to the salvation of your own soul. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song selected?